Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on Sunday, November 21st, 2010, on the premier radio networks, including 130 or so of the best stations in the U.S. and Canada, XM Channel 158. This is episode 720. Enjoy. How are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy, and it's time to talk about tech. Mm-hmm. Don't be scared. Don't fear not. Yesterday on the show, somebody said, you're like the Wizard of Oz. I said, you mean pay no attention to the man behind the curtain? Pay no attention to the man behind the microphone. We talk about all the things that are going on in the world of tech. In fact, coming up in a little bit, I'm really excited about this. Ray Maxwell is going to join us in about an hour and a half to talk, and so you want to stay tuned for this, to talk about these x-rays they're using at the airport. Actually, they use two different kinds of scanners, these new body scanners that can see right through your clothes. One is a backscatter x-ray, and one is a millimeter wave scan. They both do the same thing. They send high-frequency energy at you, bounce it off of you, and then into a camera that's, of course, designed to sense that energy. And the thing about these, they're so high frequency, they go right through your clothes, but they are stopped by your flesh, which gives them a perfect shot of you naked in your clothes. But they also will see any weapons you have on your person. So, and you know, the world's up in arms about these things, but how, you know, there's a couple of things, you know, of course, there's the intrusiveness of it, and I'm, you know, this is a tech show, and I'll let you be the judge. And you do have an option if you choose to not get the scan and to get groped, which doesn't seem like much of a choice. But the question, the important question, look, you're going to be intruded upon if you fly, I guess, but the question is, from a technical point of view, are these scanners dangerous? Are these scanners dangerous? So Ray will talk about the technology used in both these scanners and whether they're potentially harmful to you. TSA is not saying. They're saying, oh, no, it's fine. There's no problem. Nothing to fear. Pay no attention to the man behind the scanner. But, you know, we'll get an independent judgment from our explainer in chief. That's what I call Ray Maxwell. And then he's going to talk a little bit about, you know, and I think this is relevant, something Bruce Schneier, who's a real fantastic security guy, he calls this stuff security theater. He says it's the appearance of security without the actual security. So Ray's going to talk about some alternatives that may work better than the security theater. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. Meanwhile, Facebook says they're going to do an email alternative, a Gmail killer, some say. Facebook didn't say that. They said, no, this is just another kind of email. We don't even call it email. We call it messaging. They'll combine your Facebook chat, your Facebook messages, and your email into one inbox. And we will all, because, yeah, I had to rejoin Facebook just so I could talk about stuff like this. We will all have a Facebook address. I guess mine would be theleolaporte@facebook.com. Because somebody else has Leo Laporte. I'm the Leo Laporte at Facebook.com. And then the idea, and I think there's some merit to this, is that you'll have one inbox that's just your Facebook friends, right? So you know it's not spam because it's only people you said yes to, unless you happen to befriend spammers. So you could have like this spam-free inbox. And I think that's a great idea if all the people you want to talk to on email are Facebook friends. But, you know, that's not the case, right? My kids won't befriend me on Facebook. They don't want me to see what wild parties they're going to. So, you know, and my mom won't befriend me on Facebook. She doesn't want me to see what wild parties she's going to. So pretty much it's useless to me. They're talking about the next iPad. I know a lot of you are thinking, should I buy an iPad as a gift or for myself for the holidays? And, of course, this is the question always in technology. Should I buy or should I wait? And we all know there's always something better coming. The only real question is when. And then with Apple, you know, you just don't know. I mean, that's very smart on their part, because if you knew, and I think it's really funny, sometimes companies will say, oh, we got a great new one coming out in January. Well, you're not going to buy the bad old one then, are you? So Apple's very cagey. They don't say. My best guess is Apple's going to do the same thing with the iPad that they do with the iPhone, which is a yearly release. And the iPhone, it comes out roughly every June, you know. The iPad came out when? In April? This 2010? So presume that sometime, you know, this spring there'll be a new iPad. What will it have? Well, we can guess. I'm pretty sure. I'm almost positive it'll have a camera. It's about time. Of course, we were wrong. We thought the iPod Touch would have a camera many years before it did. Some analysts are saying that the next iPad will have a chip that will let them supply or use 3G all over the world. A world iPad with a chip made by Qualcomm. That'd be very good news for Qualcomm, but it also means you could get one iPad that would work with AT&T or Verizon. You know what I'm using right now and I really like a lot? If you can live without the Apple universe, if you're willing to go with Android, the Samsung Galaxy Tab, which runs on Android, is just spectacular. It's fast. It's 7 inches, so it's a little smaller than the iPad, but I think it's big enough, probably for everything except word processing. I think you need the 10-inch screen for word processing. The only negative on the Samsung is you have to get it through a wireless carrier. Right now, T-Mobile, Verizon, Sprint's got one. Sprint just came out last week. Actually, it's T-Mobile, Verizon, I guess. T-Mobile, Sprint, and Verizon's coming soon, right? AT&T, too. They'll all have it. But this is the problem. You have to sign up for a 2-year contract. That means you're talking, I don't know, what is it, $25 to $40 a month. So you're talking $1,200 to a couple of $1,000 for the life of the thing. That's an expensive device, plus the $500 you're paying to buy it. I don't know if it's worth $2,000, but I do like it. If they come out with a Wi-Fi only one, that will be interesting. We are rapidly moving to the world of tablets. So I get, and BlackBerry, the RIM folks say, oh, we're going to do a playbook. And any day now, this is an example of the opposite of saying we don't have anything. Don't buy the Apple because don't hold back. Even if you're a BlackBerry fan, don't hold back for the BlackBerry. We don't know when that's going to come out. So to answer the question, should I buy an iPad this holiday season as a gift or for myself? Absolutely. I see no reason to lose that 4, 5, 6 months of use. If you can wait, I guess you could wait till, certainly there'll be a better one in the spring. We don't know how it will be better. Probably a camera. Maybe a better display. I'll tell you one thing that the Samsung Galaxy Tab does very nicely. It's got a beautiful display. Samsung's really good at displays. I think better than the iPad. It's also the size of a Kindle, so I kind of like the idea of something that's the size of the Kindle. Great for book reading, but Angry Birds plays really well on it. You know Angry Birds, don't you? Oh, if you don't know Angry Birds, don't listen to the next few minutes, because it's an addictive game. You really don't want to get started. Free on Android, I think it's $1.99 on iPhone and $2.99 or $3.99 on iPad. You play the role of a bird, actually a number of birds, a whole colony of birds who are angry because the pigs, little green pigs, some of them with mustaches, I find that so annoying, the little green pigs have stolen your eggs, and you, the birds, are very angry. And as a result, you shoot yourself at the pigs' fortresses from slingshots, even knowing certain death awaits, because you're so angry. It's what we call a physics game or physics simulation, because the trajectory of the bird, how you hit the glass or the wood or the brick that the pigs have made their structures out of, all, you know, physics are involved, you know, how it falls. And the goal is to try to knock the whole edifice down and get all the pigs, who explode with a satisfying pop, get all the pigs with one bird. You get 10,000 points for every bird you save. And there are dozens of levels. Well, the good news is for the pigs, the company that makes this game is coming out with a version from the pig's point of view. Finally! All right, we go to the phones. 8888-ASK-LEAH. Leah Laporte, the tech guy. Your call right after this. Big Tech Guy, 88.
Ask Leo.
We talk about anything with tech in it. Anything with a chip in it. Our first call of the day from Salinas, California. Andrew. Hey, Andrew. Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. How can I help you, sir?
Good morning, Leo. I'm calling from the soggy city of Salinas.
Soggy Salinas.
Yeah.
Now, Salinas is near Gilroy, which is the garlic capital of the world. It's near Morgan Hill, which is the artichoke capital of the world.
Right, and we're the salad bowl of the world.
The salad bowl of the world. All right.
So here's the situation. I upgraded from a Windows phone, an HTC ATT Tilt 2, to iPhone 4.
All right.
And I really like the iPhone 4. The coverage on the phone, on the iPhone is absolutely outstanding, contrary to what you said yesterday. As a matter of fact, I was listening to you on my iPhone while I was working.
So it depends where you are.
Yeah. Well, all the spots I didn't get a signal with my Tilt 2, I was able to get at least two or three bars on that.
Now, that's interesting. The Tilt was also AT&T.
That's right.
That's very interesting, because you'd think...
Yeah.
That wouldn't be the phone, that it'd be the network. So you're saying, well, maybe the Tilt was just really bad.
Yeah, it was. It was better than the first Tilt, but it's, I couldn't, the coverage wasn't as good, or the signal quality wasn't as good, and I certainly couldn't listen to you on it without flash, and as you know.
Now, don't confuse. Now, there's 3G and there's phone, and they're two different, it does have to do with the same cell tower, but it's different technologies, so... You could have good 3G and bad phone service.
Right, exactly. So here's my question. Okay, with the Windows phone, I was able to sync the Windows phone to the PC, to USB or Bluetooth.
Right.
And transfer files back and forth, just like I would normally do. How do I do that with the iPhone, using USB or Bluetooth? And the second question is...
The only way to do it is with iTunes.
iTunes, okay, and
welcome to the Apple universe.
Exactly, I'm still taking hours to learn that. How do I drop files into iTunes and then sync them with the iPhone?
It's specific to the program that you use. So when you hook up your iPhone to iTunes, you go to the Apps tab, and you'll see at the bottom. I think people miss it because it's usually below the fold. You have to scroll the page down to see it. You'll see at the bottom all the apps that can understand various file types.
Okay.
And so you'll see that you can sync, for instance, word processing documents to Pages if you happen to have Pages, things like that.
Pages. So I need to get Pages for.
Wait a minute. Now, Pages may be only iPad. Is it? There's an iPhone version of it? Maybe not. But there are other programs that you can't do it on the iPhone. But you can. There are other programs. So the point of this is that Apple does not make the file system available to the user, as many phones do. You know, a lot of phones, you plug in a USB cable and the storage on the phone mounts as a disk, and you can drag files over. No. Not with the iPhone.
Okay.
You have to use iTunes as an intermediary.
Second question is there a file explorer for the iPhone like there is on the Windows phone?
No, for the same reason. You can't just look at the phone. Now, I shouldn't say no, because there are third-party programs. You know, of course, everything I'm saying is if you haven't jailbroken your iPhone. If you jailbreak it, yeah, and I don't recommend it. But if you jailbreak it, you know, you can do any of this stuff. And people will. The reason I mention this is that people are, oh, Leo, you can do all of that stuff. And I'll say, well, how? Well, you jailbreak it. Well, now that's not what I'm talking about here. This is a stock iPhone. There is a program that will let you browse your iPhone to a certain degree. It's called PhoneView. It's PhoneView. It comes from a company called Ecamm. Oh, wait a minute, though.
Wait a minute.
Let me make sure. I think it might be only Mac.
I'm writing this information down.
Yeah, it's only Mac. So Windows users, you can't really use Phone View.
Okay.
There are programs, there are apps. Now, you know what? Another way that you can't look at. So the Explorer browsing your phone, forget about it.
Okay.
Apple is protecting you from yourself.
Okay.
You, my friend, if you had that kind of access to your phone, would almost certainly screw it up.
Yeah.
So they don't let you do that. And I think it also has to do with copy protection. They don't, because there's music on there and the record companies don't want you browsing around. If you have a Mac, PhoneView works. It's a good program. You don't have a Mac. So there are other things you can do. There's AirShare. These are iPhone apps. That Dropbox is a great choice. Dropbox will actually let you move some files. I don't know if you use Dropbox already. It's a great program for Windows and Mac.
But I've written it down. I saw on some of the chats here, Dropbox and QuickOffice.
QuickOffice is another one. GoodReader. There are a number of programs, and you'll forgive me because I use the iPad a lot, and I sometimes get confused about what's available on the iPad and what's available on the iPhone.
Last question. When will you be on Ron's show again?
I will be on KGO on Ron Owen's show November 29th.
Excellent.
Which is Monday, as a matter of fact.
Thanks so much.
A week from Monday. Thank you. I appreciate it. And I think I'm doing, we're talking about doing Regis and Kelly, which I haven't done in ages.
Yeah.
I'd be doing that right after CES.
Okay.
So that'll be going out to New York and doing that probably the second week of January. So a couple of upcoming appearances. 8888 Ask Leo. I should mention Steve Martin joins us here next week. We'll be talking to Steve. He is really become a Twitter maven. Over 300,000 followers. If you don't follow him on Twitter, Steve Martin to go is his handle. Steve Martin to go, and he's hysterical. So I played a little trick. He's got a new novel coming out. And I thought, well, oh, good, we can get Steve on the show and we'll plug the novel and then we'll talk about Twitter. So we'll talk about Twitter and the book. Actually, he's funny. Steve's funny. He said, oh, your audience wouldn't be interested in the book. It's about the art world. Yes, we would. We'll talk about both next week. Joe in Knoxville, Tennessee. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Good day, Leo. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Pretty good. Got a question. I do a lot of camping at a campground and there's no internet service there, Wi-Fi service, I should say, and cell phone service is sparse. I did find out that I can get DSL into the park, and I'm looking at setting up a pay-per-use hotspot.
Oh, what a good idea.
And also do some volunteer work at the same campground. So for volunteers, I was going to set that up for free access for the volunteers, but pay-per-use, for everybody else. I was just wondering what do you know about companies that provide the hotspot services?
The one I would take a look at is Phone, F-O-N, at FON.com. They make a little Wi-Fi box that can do exactly what you just talked about. You can have members that get free access, and then if you're not a member, you pay a fee and you get access. So it gives you a startup page, a login, and it's just quite a clever little service. It's from a company called Fonera.
Okay.
FON.com. There are a number of other companies that this is essentially a special access point that gives you the capabilities that you want. And there are also some that, alternative software for existing access points like the Linksys WRT that you can modify. But I think Phone is probably the easiest way to do it. FON.com. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. This portion of the Tech Guy Show is brought to you by my internet service provider, mine, DSL Extreme, for high-speed internet at an amazingly low price. Call 866, the number 2, get net to get DSL Extreme. Time to talk home theater, and what better time to do it than the Sunday before Black Friday. Joining us right now, Scott Wilkinson. He's the editor-in-chief of the Ultimate AV Magazine at ultimateavmag.com, and our home theater wizard. And you know, I know I'm seeing cell phone deals. Is this Friday going to be a good day to buy a TV, Scott?
Yeah, absolutely. I got an email from a PR guy for Sears and Kmart with a few deals. Now, I have to say that a lot of what you find online and the lists for Black Friday deals and the ads for Black Friday deals do not specify the model numbers.
Yeah, that's a little deceptive. You
know? Which is a little deceptive, and it makes it difficult for me to know how good of a deal it is.
Well, I'm looking at one from Best Buy right now. Samsung Incorporated, Samsung 40 Class 500 Series 1080p 60 Hertz, but I'm not even sure what model that is.
Well, now Best Buy, and I went to, I think it was blackfriday.net, and there are a million of these sites online. Yeah. And some of them specify the model numbers and others don't. And the site I went to research this, I think it was blackfriday.net, did include model numbers. And now keep in mind also that I generally stick with larger displays. I'm not really looking at 19-inch displays or 20-inch displays.
And those are the loss leaders that you're going to see a lot of times because they can make those really cheap.
That's true. And a lot of these are what are called doorbusters.
Right.
Which is, you know, the prices are valid only from like 4 a.m. to, you know, noon.
Right.
To get you in the door. And they're probably losing money on them. But then they expect you to spend more money on other stuff that will make them money.
Right. So, you know, it's funny because for many years, in fact, I remember lawsuits. Companies would say, no, don't publish on the internet our Black Friday deals. And then they realized, wait a minute, that's free advertising. They were saying, oh, you know, don't put those out till we buy the. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe that's not a bad thing. So now there's blackfriday.com, blackfriday.info, bfads.net. Mm-hmm. And they all say, by the way, they're official. Blackfriday.org. None of them are official. It's just some guy put together a site.
Right.
Although now I think some retailers will send these Black Friday deals ahead to the sites because they realize this is better than buying a display ad in a newspaper.
That's right. It's free.
It's free. Black-friday.net. If you Google Black,
I think that's the one I went.
Yeah, if you Google Black Friday, you'll see, you know, a dozen of these.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now Sears apparently is, and Kmart are both offering pre-Thanksgiving Day sales, and Sears for the first time this year is going to be open on Thanksgiving Day, with some deals.
Wow.
So here are a few things at Sears. They have a Sony 46-inch 1080p LED HDTV. And this is, by the way, what I recommend. If you're going to get an LCD TV, I really like the LED illuminated ones more than the conventionally illuminated ones.
And we don't worry about edge lit versus backlit anymore.
Backlit is probably better in most cases.
But nobody makes it anymore.
Well, a few people do, but they're very expensive.
Okay.
They're very expensive. So most of them are going to be edge lit, A, because it's cheaper, and right. B, because they're thinner.
Right.
And people seem to like these thin ones. Anyway, so here's a Sony 46-inch 1080p LED for $900, regularly $1,700. I suspect it's the KDL46EX700, which is no longer on the Sony site, but the EX710 is $1,799. So, okay, it's probably that one. Only on Thanksgiving Day, November 25th, Sears has a Panasonic 58-inch 1080p plasma.
That sounds good.
For $1,100.
Now that sounds like a good deal. It's big. It's a plasma. It's Panasonic, which makes good plasmas.
Absolutely. That's regularly $1,800. Plus, you get two Blu-rays. They say Kingdom of Heaven and Independence Day. Now, Kingdom of Heaven.
Thank goodness.
It's okay. Kingdom of Heaven's okay. And Independence Day, I love. I actually use that as a test disc. It's probably the TCP 58S2, which is, you know, their midline plasma. It's very good. Let's see. Kmart's got a Panasonic 46-inch plasma for $500, regularly $700. I couldn't tell what model that was. Let's see. What else? You mentioned at Best Buy, There was a bunch of good deals there. I looked, I saw that they had a 46-inch C6300 model LED TV for $1,000, normally $1,700. A 55-inch of the same model line for $1,500, normally $2,500. So you're saving $1,000 right there.
Do they still anywhere like say hold off and then really hit you hard on Friday, like, oh wow, hey, a dollar or something? I mean, does that sometimes happen, or is it still really what you see now is probably the best you're going to get?
Oh, hard to say. I don't actually go shopping on the day after Black Friday.
there are a couple of Twitter accounts you might want to follow as well. There's at Black Friday is one that's provided by shoppingblog.com. They do Black Friday and what people call Cyber Monday. Remember that Monday following Thanksgiving is when people go online, in theory, go online to buy stuff. I think that's less true now that everybody has high-speed internet. It was more true when you went to the office and did your shopping because the office had the high-speed internet. There's Black Friday _FM from the website blackfriday.fm. So I'd follow those, too. I mean, might as well see these in your Twitter stream.
Absolutely.
Yeah. BF now, Ads is also.
Best Buy's got a couple of non-TV items I wanted to mention. The Logitech Harmony 650 Universal Remote. Great remote. Half price. $50. Normally $100.
The Harmony 650. That's a good deal. Okay.
It's a really good deal. Yeah. It's a really good. That's my. Harmonies are my favorite remotes. I like the Harmony 1. That's what I use, but it's more expensive. It lists for like $250. And the 650 model gives you much the same capability, you know, for $50 on this deal. And that's not even a doorbuster. There's a Pioneer receiver, VSX 820, normally $300 for $200 at Best Buy. Toshiba Blu-ray player for $60. Normally $100. Blu-ray players have been, we've got some interesting Blu-ray deals here on Black Friday. There's at Walmart, there's a Magnavox Wi-Fi Blu-ray player. It's the MBP5130. One article called it the lowest nationally advertised price for an internet Blu-ray player for $69. But then H.H. Gregg, are you familiar with them?
Yeah.
They have what they call an LG internet Blu-ray player for $60.
Wow, $60.
Yeah.
That's now, if amazing. It's
it is amazing.
Now, somebody asked me yesterday, and I said, oh, Scott said get the Oppo.
Well, yeah, sure.
But that's going to be $500.
Exactly, and I haven't seen any Black Friday.
How much better is a $500 Blu-ray player than a $60 Blu-ray? Is it 10 times better?
No.
Okay.
Well, the Oppo's an excellent player. What it gives you that a lot of other players don't is the ability to play a wider variety of disc formats. If you're like me, and granted, I'm in the minority, I like high resolution surround music discs, and that's DVD audio and SACD. And those are pretty dead formats, unfortunately, but they're not entirely dead. The Oppo will play them. These other ones won't.
That's why I bought the Oppo, just in case.
Just in case. Exactly. Yeah. But these Blu-ray player,
well, that's a deal. $60
are great. Are really good.
Truthfully, if you buy an HDTV, you really ought to get a Blu-ray player, even if
absolutely.
It's just a cheap one.
No question about it.
Yeah.
No question about
That's going to be your best picture.
Yep.
Scott, should people decide before they look at the ads what they want?
Well, in a sense, yes. You want to decide on the size of the TV that you want to get.
Because it's so tempting. You go, oh, wow, look at that price. I'm going to buy it. It may really not be what you want, but you just kind of got sucked in by the ad.
Well, yeah, I suppose. You want to think about...
Do some research first. Go to ultimateavmag.com. That's where Scott
lives.
Hometheatermag.com. And hometheatermag.com. Scott Wilkinson is our ultimate AV expert and joins us every week at this time. And if you, we'll talk to you next week, Scott. Take care.
Thank you.
This portion of the Tech Guy Show brought to you by my friends at Carbonite.com. Backup done right. Make sure you try it free. Use the offer code. Oh, stop laughing at me. Leo. Carbonite.com. Hey, Scott wanted me to mention that he is doing a little poll on his website, ultimateavmag.com, asking you what your favorite movie genre is so that they can know better what movies to review, I guess. So if you've got a, you know, if you've got a favorite movie genre, go to Ultimate AV Mag and cast your vote. Scott does a podcast for us, too, every Monday, 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern time at live.twit.tv. The Home Theater Geeks is on the air. And then after the fact, you can listen at twit.tv. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo's the number. Mark is in Glendale. He's our next caller. Hey, Mark, Leo Laporte here.
Hi, Leo.
Hey.
Hi, Leo.
Hello. What can I do for you?
I have a question about the Elgato ITV Hybrid versus the Elgato ITV 250. Right now I have a Lato 9 Mac Mini, and probably about 6 to 9 months from now, I'll probably buy the smaller MacBook Air with a 128 gig SSD and the 1.4 gigahertz and 4 gigs of RAM.
Right.
Wanted to find out how either one of these would compare on both of those computers.
So the hybrid is just a USB key that plugs in.
Okay.
And you would plug an antenna into it or a cable into it, and it then would allow you to record and watch television. But you have to have basic cable. In other words, it won't work with a digital decoder or an antenna that it plugs right into it. And what was the other one you were looking at, the 250?
Pardon?
You were looking at the 250?
Both of them, actually. And on the hybrid, am I confused here? Will it work with an antenna for over-the-air programs?
Yes.
Because I am one of the holdouts. I've never paid for cable.
Then that may be what you want. The hybrid, the advantage of the hybrid is it's tiny. So it's great with a mini because you're moving around. The MacBook Air, I mean, because you're moving around, presumably, right?
Okay.
So you could keep that hybrid, plugged in. And so it works with an antenna. It also will work with a camcorder or VCR. I think the limitation, I'm just looking at the specs on the website. I use a 250, and I have that plugged into the cable.
Okay.
But the 250 is bigger, and there's more to carry around.
Okay.
It's also more expensive.
Recommend a portable antenna to go with it, then?
That I do not know. You're going to want to get, so you don't have an antenna. You're saying you're going to carry a portable antenna around.
Yeah, if I'm going to carry it with a MacBook Air.
Yeah. That's an interesting question. Some of these come with antennas. I don't know if Elgato's do. They're just little, extensible. They look like FM radio antennas that you plug in. I'm going to look at this here a little bit more closely. It doesn't look like this does. USB cable, video cable, antenna adapter. Okay, so it's the antenna adapter is something called F to MCX. And this is so you can know which kind of antenna. If you go to the Elgato page, it has some recommendations for websites. And it points you to Antennas Direct, which we recommend all the time, antennasdirect.com. And so they'll tell you what good portable antennas there are for HD over the air. Basically, the HD TV antennas are like UHF antennas.
Okay.
So if you go to Elgato.com and you go to the specs page for the ITV hybrid and go down to the bottom of the page, it says about antennas. There's no difference between a traditional TV antenna and an HD TV digital antenna. If you're considering updating your old antenna or buying one for the first time, use the criteria of quality, size, range, and your budget. But they give you three websites that'll give you a lot of information about which antenna to choose, including HDTV Antenna Labs, which doesn't sell antennas, but will walk you through what kind of information, the information you need.
Okay, thank you much, Leo. That's all I wanted.
You're welcome. Yeah, I use Elgato, and I like it. I think it's a very good choice. It allows you to record TV shows, watch TV shows. You know, what a great idea on a MacBook Air. As you travel around, if you're in urban areas, you should be able to get pretty good HDTV. You might look at a Slingbox, too, would be a nice choice, because then you have the Slingbox at home on your DVR. You could be watching your local TV over the internet with the MacBook Air, and then you can watch TV where you are over the antenna. Scott, Westminster, California. You're next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Leo. How you doing?
I'm great. What can I do for you?
Well, I finally got tired of dropping all my calls on my iPhone, so I left them and got the Samsung Epic.
Yeah.
And
I like it.
So I love it. It's so, it makes the iPhone look antiquated, you know?
Well, that's what I think, but I sure get a lot of hate from people, iPhone users primarily, who say, oh, you just don't know nothing when you think, when you say, something besides an iPhone is better, they get mad at me. Let's talk a little bit about the Epic, the difference between the Epic and the iPhone. And of course, the Epic's on Sprint, so the biggest difference is the carrier, in just a second. Before we do, though, I do want to talk about backup. So if you'll bear with me, Scott, for a little bit, because I know there are people listening right now to my voice who are not backing up. And I know those people will be calling me, if not now, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but someday soon. They'll be calling saying, help me, Leo. I lost all my data. My hard drive won't boot and I don't know what to do and I don't have a backup. Now, don't be that person. You don't want to be that guy. You want to back up. And if you're going do it right with Carbonite. Why do I like Carbonite? Two reasons. One, it's automatic. You don't have to think about it. It just does it. Two, it's not backing up to an external hard drive that can get lost or destroyed with your computer when the fire and the house and the thing and it's all burnt down. Carbonite's backing up to the internet where it's safe and you can get those files back anywhere from any computer, even with their free iPhone or BlackBerry app. So your data is not only safe, it's available anytime, anywhere. Now, you got to like that. Plus, Carbonite's very affordable. All the personal data on your internal drive, all of it, no matter how much, for just $55 a year. But I'm going to tell you how to save even more. But the first thing I want you to do is try it free because it does use your internet access. Somebody sent me a note saying, I have, 380 gigabytes and it's going to take forever to back up. Well, yeah, it is. Yeah. Maybe you shouldn't back up everything because you're using your internet access. So, that's why I want you to try it. Free, no credit card or anything. Just go to carbonite.com, use the offer code Leo. Try it for 2 weeks. Then if you decide to buy, I think you will, but I want you to try it first. Use my name, Leo. You'll save 2 months free on the $55 deal. So carbonite.com, offer code Leo. That's the thing you got to remember. Just back it up, folks, please. It's the only way to get it back. And do it right with Carbonite. So, Scott, the big change for you is you went to Sprint.
Yes.
And I think that's the issue with the iPhone. I think the iPhone's a great phone. I hope people don't think that I'm saying this is a terrible. Well, I'm sorry. It's a great device. It's a terrible phone for some people because AT&T is a terrible carrier for some people.
Yeah.
So the Epic has other advantages. It has a slide-out keyboard.
Which is fantastic.
Which you like.
Oh,
it's an Android device. I happen to think Android devices, that's the Google phone operating system, are great. I use a Droid X. And I just think that the range of software available is great. And a lot of Apple people say, oh, Android is ugly or slow, or I don't know. They have all sorts of knocks for it, all of which are fairly subjective. I think Android is great.
Yeah, I had the iPhone for over a year. And so far, what I could tell with the Epic, it's just, it runs smooth. It runs beautiful. My main thing is I don't drop calls, which was a problem having a business of my own. And
for years, until iPhone came out, when people said, what phone should I get? The first thing I'd say is, what carrier is best where you are? You choose the carrier because not all carriers are created equal. Different areas have better results with different carriers. So nowadays, because the iPhone isn't so dominant, there are good choices on every carrier, like the Epic on Sprint. I like the Evo also on Sprint. You can choose the carrier first. So Sprint works great for you. I'm glad you got a great phone. Now, I know you have the question everybody says, but now what do? I want to get my iTunes Music on my Android phone.
Exactly.
Because it'll do it. It has plenty of storage. There's a free program. Highly recommend it. It's called Double Twist. There are a couple of ways to do this, but this is the one I really like. DoubleTwist.com. It'll sync up just like the iTunes does. In fact, it sees your iTunes library. It sees your iTunes playlists. You could put podcasts, music. You could sync Android apps. I really like it.
Oh, fantastic. I'll definitely.
And it's free. Yeah, they should really, the Sprint store should tell you that. When anybody goes to a phone company and buys an Android phone, the first thing they should say is, oh, and by the way, get Double Twist. There is another choice, which I'll tell you about in just a bit when we come back. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Laporte here, the tech guy, and we're talking about computers, the internet, cell phones, camcorders, MP3 players, home theater, all the gadgets and gizmos of the 21st century right here, right now. 8888-ASK-LEO is my number. Coming up, just a few minutes, Chris Marquardt, our photo guy, to talk about digital photography and reiterate our assignment for you. Also, in about 45 minutes, Ray Maxwell is going to join us. He's the, I would say he's our explainer-in-chief. He's the guy who can tell us how things work. He's an engineer, a brilliant fellow, but also really good at explaining stuff. And he is going to talk about these X-ray machines that they're using at the airport now and what kinds of risks they involve. How they work and the risks involved. Coming up in just a little bit, Dr. Mom's telling me, and these new machines are really going to cause a nightmare. She say, O'Hare is so backed up. Hundreds of others missed their flights today. The rebooking counters are around the block. Partly that's, of course, because this is a big travel week with Thanksgiving coming up. But I think also the additional security measures really slow things down. So if you're going to the airport, no matter what, you're going to want to allow a lot of extra time for going home. So we were talking about ways to get your Android phone synced up with your iTunes. I'm a big fan of Double Twist. I think that's one of my favorite applications out there, and I highly recommend it. You can also do this with Winamp on Windows. Winamp's an excellent program. You can wirelessly sync on, which is one of the really nice things about Android, is that you can, with the right software, sync via Wi-Fi. So that's kind of cool. I think there's a lot of nice features to Android, and I think people who reject it out of hand saying, oh, it's just not as elegant as the iPhone, are kind of missing the boat. There's some really great stuff happening out there. Media Monkey 3 works. Markspace. My chat room is so great. If you ever, by the way, the chat room, if you want to join us in there, it's very easy. Go to the website, techguylabs.com, techguylabs.com, and click the chat link. And they're really great. They're mentioning Media Monkey 3 for Windows. Another good choice. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. If you've got a question, a comment, a suggestion, you want to talk tech. 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S., outside the U.S. Use Skype out. It's still toll free. Jones, Simi Valley, California. You're next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I have a cable here in Simi Valley, and I have another place up in the mountains near Fraser Park. And the cable up there is like $70 a month, and I'm tired of paying for it, especially I'm not there all the time. And you talk about a machine that you can touch your home TV set, and then you can get your TV from anywhere else you are.
Yes.
And I want to know what I need to in order to hook this up. What components do I need and requirements?
So it's called Slingbox. Okay. You can read about it at slingbox.com.
Okay.
To be fair, they are an advertiser on some of our shows, so I just want to let you know that we have a financial relationship, but I've recommended Slingbox for long before they ever advertised on the show. What you need is internet access.
Okay.
And so you will have to continue to have internet access at your second home.
Okay.
The better quality the internet access, the better the picture looks. Although Slingbox handles, speed degradations pretty well. It's just that the picture gets fuzzier.
Okay.
So you could use a MiFi card or a 3G connection, but it'd be better if you got internet access up there, you know, either DSL or cable. And it'd certainly be cheaper than getting internet and TV.
Right.
So the Sling Box just hooks up. It's a just kind of, it's kind of a funky looking box, and it just hooks up to your you plug it into the internet, yeah, the Ethernet. I don't think it has Wi-Fi. Maybe some of them do, but the one I have doesn't have Wi-Fi. You plug it into the Ethernet, and then the other side of it is all the TV connectors you could ever want. So probably what you'd do is you'd plug it into your cable box. You could also, if you have a DVR, you could plug it into that. You might plug it into your DVD player. You know, it has enough connections for most of pretty much everything you've got.
I could so as long as I have internet access at both places, and I plug
yep,
it internet up there.
Yep.
And I plug it in.
So now you're watching, and you know what else? It also works on the iPhone. It works on Blackberries. It works on iPod touches with Wi-Fi. So your computer as well. So you don't even really, you know, you could be, the nice thing is once you've set this up at home, it's not just your second home you can watch it at. You can watch it anywhere. You can get online.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, I think it's a great solution. I use it all the time. It's a great solution.
So I really don't. Okay, so I'm really limited in internet connections up there.
That's the trick. Yeah, that's the trick. But if you have a cell phone that works up there, the 3G works up there, you could watch it there.
There's no cell reception at all in this.
Ah, you're in the boonies.
That's in the boonies.
But of course, that's why you bought this beautiful home.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it was so beautiful and in the country.
Yeah, but it's very inconvenient for some things.
Yes, exactly. I get this call all the time, and it's, it's the trade-off.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you so much. I'm going to go out and buy one. Any suggestions? Can I buy it at any computer store or what?
Yeah, go to slingbox.com, and you can buy it from them, and they'll tell you where. And Best Buy is where they, most often, I think, where the people go to get it.
Thank you so much.
You can get a demo at Best Buy, and that's kind of nice. You're very welcome, Joe. Nice to talk to you. Good for people who travel a lot. Stephen in Raleigh, North Carolina. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Stephen.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I'm wanting to do some podcasts and put them up on the web, and most of these would be done at a conference or a seminar.
Mm-hmm.
For some equipment that is reasonably portable and you know, reasonably good quality. That I could take.
Audio or audio and video?
Just audio right now. Now, if that could grow into video and that equipment could be used in the future, that would also be great. But
and now here's the real question: you say podcast. This is why the word podcast is so overloaded, unfortunately, that it's lost meaning. Traditionally, a podcast is something you record and then offer for download later. I'm guessing you want to do this live.
No, this would be
nope.
Use later.
Oh, well, then this is easy.
And
this is easy.
And some of the equipment, and it talks about everybody recommends keeping each voice on a separate channel. And
how many different speakers are you going to have at the same time?
Probably two, maybe three.
It's pretty straightforward. The problem is if you're just using a computer to record it, that's fine with one voice, but as soon as you get multiple voices, then you need a mixer and it gets complicated. You might take a look at the Samson Zoom, Z-O-O-M. Samson makes these really great portable recorders, and they have very good microphones, but they're standalone. So in other words, you're recording to a compact flash, or actually in this case an SD card. And the audio quality is excellent. There are a variety of them. You could start with the H1, which has some really excellent, it's very small, stereo mics. If you want to use professional mics, you can go up a little higher to one of the higher level Zooms. They have XLR connectors on them. The H4N is the one I use. So you can plug a standard, up to two standard mics into it. And you don't need a mixer or anything. You're recording very high quality audio right to the Zoom.
So you could do these in the hallway.
In the hallway, anywhere you go. You don't need a computer. You could put it in your pocket. This is made for making podcasts. Down the road, if you want to do video, and I will buy one as soon as it comes out, they are making a high-def video recorder with the same excellent mics on it that will be kind of a flip cam for pros. So this is a great company, Samson, S-A-M-S-O-N, and the product is called the Zoom. You probably should look at the H4N, and then the Q3 HD will be the video product. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. This portion of the Tech Guy Show is brought to you by Carbonite.com. Backup done right. Try it free today, right now. You don't even need a credit card. Just go to Carbonite.com and use my name Leo as the offer code. Windows or Mac, you got to back it up to get it back. So do it right with Carbonite. Barbara's in Los Angeles. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Hey, Barbara.
Hi. I'm an old lady who's trying to readjust my learning curve. I have a Sony, and I bought it in 2003, and then the problem with it was slow. So I hired a tech to increase the speed. He came in, and he took it apart, and he put a chip in to double the memory, and then we tried to download the titanium antivirus disk, and neither one, that wouldn't load, so we got panicky, changed back to the old memory stick. And then I tried to get the documents off the computer because I thought, oh, my gosh, it's crashing.
Back it up.
Well, yeah, you're telling me that.
Yeah. I'm
listening to. And to an exterior hard drive, which I had, and that didn't work. And so now the computer will go on, but it freezes in 2 minutes. So I'm on my search, I guess, to get a new computer.
Thank you, tech. Man, if I did that to you, you'd be screaming. You must like this tech guy.
No, I'm very disappointed because it was working fine.
Yeah.
Wanted to do.
Well, it might have been, you know, don't blame him because it could be that there's other issues going on. If he put the right memory in, you shouldn't have these problems. Maybe he put the wrong memory in, then you could scream at him.
Okay, well, he said, I doubled your memory. I was so excited.
Yeah, that's nice, but you got to put the right chip in. And even if it fits, it may not be the right chip. So,
okay.
How old is this Sony?
I bought it in 2003.
Yeah, you know, 7 years old. That's in computer years, that's 147.
Almost as old as me.
Yeah, it's 21 years per year for computers.
Okay.
So I'm just making that up, but it's three times dog years. It really is true. A five-year-old computer is pretty much old, you know, and it's not so much that it's worn out. It's just that there's so much faster stuff for so much less that you might really benefit. If you're complaining about speed, absolutely.
Okay, here's my dilemma. So this old lady went researching, and I found a Sony, the wireless keypad and the wireless mouse. And I thought, well, how about doing that with a new touchscreen? And I got a whole lot of information on that. What do you know about that, and what can you tell?
Yeah. Is there a reason, Barbara, that you're not looking at a Macintosh?
No, there isn't a reason. There isn't.
Get a Macintosh, Barbara.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Seriously. You know, Windows isn't awful, but Windows is, if in business, Windows is definitely the way to go for most people.
Huh?
I think for home users, a Mac is a much better choice. A little bit more pricey, but the quality is much higher.
Okay.
There are fewer choices. An iMac, if you want a laptop, there's some great choices. Do you want a desktop or a laptop?
Desktop.
Yeah, I would look at an iMac.
An iMac. Okay.
Yeah. Now, if you have to run Windows, you can on an iMac. But because of the security issues with Windows, because of the tweakiness of Windows, I think a Mac is a much better choice.
Okay. All right. Is there any particular...
I really do.
That is the iMac.
It's all-in-one. It's gorgeous. You'll be very pleased with how it looks. You can get wireless keyboard and mouse with it if you choose.
Okay. And what is the price range on that?
They start at around $1,200, I think. Okay. They're more expensive, but you get what you pay for, I'll be honest with you.
Okay. And what about the hard drive and the speed? And
that's everything. It's all in there.
And a Mac, according to what I learned, doesn't have a virus. You know,
technically, of course, all computers could be attacked, but Apples do not get attacked because there's so few of them compared to Windows machines, and the bad guys just go after the Windows machines.
Okay.
If there is a, oh yeah, you're in Los Angeles. Go to an Apple store. You'll love the experience. They're very helpful.
Okay.
And they'll show you all the Macs. If you want to browse ahead of time, I don't know if your computer is working well enough to get on the internet, but if you want to browse ahead of time, you can go to store.apple.com. The nice thing about Macs are very simple. There's really only a few different models to choose from. It's not as confusing. Get the biggest screen you can afford or you're willing to spend, because a big screen is a really nice thing to have.
Okay.
And I think you'll be very happy.
What about the tech was felt so bad about what happened? He said, I found you a refurnished.
Go away from this tech and never talk to him again.
Okay, stay away from
him. He's not doing you any favors. The refurbishes, he's not doing you any favors.
Okay, so free.
He already screwed you up. I would say, you know, you were great. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Okay, so the refurbishes, stay away from them.
Not necessarily. If they come from the company that made it, for instance, Apple sells refurbs, so does Dell. If they come from the company that made the computer originally and the full warranty is there, most of the time that just, and it's a current model, most of the time that just means they sold it, somebody opened it. Uh-huh. And said, I don't want it, brought it back. You can't sell it as new. You just sell it as refurb. Okay. But if you're buying a refurb from a third party, stay away.
Okay. No, it's directly from the store.
Store is not the same thing as the manufacturer.
Okay. Okay.
I mean the manufacturer. So if it's a Sony, get it from Sony.
Got
don't
it.
Get it from some other person, because it's not truly, it's not what I said, which is a new computer that's being sold as used.
Okay.
It is a used computer. You don't want to buy somebody else's problems.
Okay.
If you can afford it, and I realize Macs are more expensive, about 50% more expensive, but if you can afford it, Barbara, you'll call me in 6 months and say, thank you, you got me out of this crazy cycle.
Okay. All right. So
I promise.
The Macintosh, and does Macintosh put out touchscreens?
They don't, and Steve Jobs says, and I agree with him, the reason you don't want a touchscreen on a computer is because you don't want to have to hold your arm out all the time.
Okay.
If you want a touch screen, get a tablet, get an iPad, because then it's in your lap. But you really don't want a touch screen. Seems like a good idea. It's not.
Okay. All right.
Just a mouse. A mouse works. A mouse is beautiful in its simplicity and elegance. It just really works.
Okay. Even if it's wireless, it's fine.
Yeah, wireless and Apple sells wireless mice and wireless keyboards. Actually, I wouldn't get an Apple wireless mouse because Apple doesn't like multiple buttons. I would it comes with a mouse and a keyboard. They do a very nice Bluetooth keyboard that works very well, but I would get a Logitech MX Anywhere mouse. It's a better mouse, works just fine with Macintoshes.
Logic, how do you spell it?
Logitech, Logitech.
Huh?
And it's the MX Anywhere, and the reason they call it the Anywhere is because the laser will work even kind of on glass and surfaces that many other optical mice don't work.
Knowledge. I appreciate talking to you.
That's my job. This is all I do. But I really do think, you know, look, I use Windows. Geeks like Windows. There's a lot of advantages to Windows. But for simplicity's sake, for security's sake, why hassle? Just get a Mac. You'll be so much happier.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll check it out. And
thanks,
very much for talking to me.
And I think you'll enjoy the Apple Store. Apple has really figured out how to do a great retail experience. Really remarkable. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, my old rule of thumb was Windows for business, Macs for home. That's changed a little bit. If you want a game, you probably should still get a Windows machine. If there's some things that you know, for some people, Windows is a better choice. If budget is a big, big concern, of course, Windows machines tend to be a lot cheaper. But for most home users who just want a simple experience, I think the Mac is the right way to go. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More of your calls. Actually, Chris Marquardt, the photo guy, coming up right after this. We'll be right back. This portion of the Tech Guy Show is brought to you by my internet service provider, yeah, DSL Extreme, for high-speed internet at an amazingly low price. Call 8888. No, that's my number. You can call me, but then I'll tell you to call 866, the number 2, get net, to get DSL Extreme. My number, 8888, Ask Leo. 8888, Ask Leo. Your questions, your comments, your suggestions. Saul and Milpitas, you're next. Hi, Saul. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Oh, hey, Leo. Hang on. I'm trying to feed my kid right now.
Okay. I'll hang on. I'll tell you what. I'll put you on hold, and while I put you on hold, give you 30 seconds or so, I will let people know that you can get the download the show on a variety of different platforms. It's all at techguylabs.com. And, you know, we do a lot of other shows and put them on YouTube at YouTube.com/twit. That's my podcast network, YouTube.com/twit. And, you know, we had an interesting problem with YouTube. And I just, this is one of the things that really gets me. And I suppose you can't really complain about a free service, right? But for some reason, Google has decided that one of our shows, we do a show called iPad Today, the most recent episode is inappropriate. What did they say, John? They said they pulled down for inappropriate content. Now, I can tell you, this is, it is a completely appropriate show. Family friendly. There aren't even any bad words in it. And there certainly is no inappropriate content. I don't know if that's ever happened to you on YouTube. YouTube pulls our videos down fairly frequently for reasons we just don't, and there's no appeal. There's no way to find out. There's nothing. It's just like, okay, we'll move on. We'll do another show. So I have to say, if you use YouTube, you should probably use other services as well. You should not put all your eggs in one basket. YouTube's great. It provides access to a massive audience. It's absolutely free. We pay no bandwidth costs for it, so I can't complain. But come on, Google. You know, I mean, if you're going to pull down something for inappropriate comment, give me something I can do about it. Give me some sort of way to dispute it. I guess there's a dispute process, but we've never seen. It just goes into a black hole. We never see any results or responses. It's the strangest thing. I think people can actually complain about your video and get it pulled down. All right, now I've wasted enough time. Is Saul back? Saul, are you there?
Yeah, I am. Okay, sorry about that. Really quickly, my wife's computer went kaput, so we're looking at getting a new one, and she's going to be working from home as well. And I was looking at these all-in-one computers, and I was wondering if you can kind of give me any feedback on them, any pros and cons on them, because they kind of look like they're new to the market as far as for myself.
Well, it all started with Apple and the iMac, right, where everything was all-in-one. And really, it's almost a laptop on its side. You know, it's a desktop that's kind of built like a laptop.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think that the advantages of it are they're compact. They usually look pretty nice. Everybody makes them now, and I have nothing against them. The days when people would buy a tower case because they could open it up and put in a different video card or put in different memory, I think those days are kind of fading fast. You don't want to do that, do you?
Well, I'm a gamer, so I do it.
but for a gamer, an all-in-one is a bad idea, but for your wife, maybe it's fine.
All right. Cool. On there, any recommendations? Because I was looking at the HP ones, because they also have a touch screen.
I think they're great. The Touch Smarts, I think they're very nice. They're very affordable. Cool. Now, I have the same issue with the touch screens that Steve Jobs mentioned when he said, we're not going to make a touchscreen Mac, right, because he said you have to reach your hand out, and who wants to have their hand out all the time? Now, I think there are cases where a touchscreen is a great idea in the kitchen, perhaps when you're cooking, right, and you want to just touch it. You don't want to type on the keyboard. People love the touchscreen on the iPad.
Right.
But it's a more intimate device. You're sitting in your lap. You're holding it in your arm. You're not exactly reaching out to touch the screen.
Right. Yeah. Well, the good thing about the touch screens, too, is they got a special needs child that doesn't talk. So he uses touch screens to learn alphabets. You know, he presses on the A or the B or whatever on there. So he's now going in that realm there with using touch screen there to communicate. So
that touch screen is great for that.
Yeah, it's a plus on there. Because I was looking at the Myra Schoolmate Convertible.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a touchscreen laptop, and I was looking at them, you know, on there. But I figure
I think they're great, and I know a number. There's a lot of programs for special needs kids on the iPad as well.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, these are, and the iPad is nice because it's small. It's pretty robust. There's a lot of good choices. That's a very good reason to get a touchscreen computer.
All right, perfect on there. All right, well, cool. Thank you very much. The Live Liver Show. You have a good week.
Thank you, Saul. Yeah, I'll tell you what the negative would be, and people will say this, I'm sure, in the chat room, is that if it's all-in-one and something breaks in an all-in-one computer, the monitor goes bad, you can't just say, well, I'll get a new monitor. The whole computer has to go in and get fixed. So that's the negative. But nowadays, computers very rarely break. They're very reliable. It's easy to swap out something like a hard drive. They're not upgradable. They're, you know, but, you know, they're all-in-one, so they're convenient. They don't occupy a lot of space. They're great for a home. I think they're a good choice in the right circumstance. That's all. It's just got to be the right place for them. Sherry in La Mirada, California. Hi, Sherry. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo.
Welcome to the show. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm in and out of eBay all the time, and I can still go on to eBay. But when I go to log in or the sign in to log mm-hmm. in, mm-hmm. I got this connection is untrusted.
Yeah.
From my browser.
So the way the browser knows whether it's eBay or not is through something called a certificate.
Right.
eBay buys these certificates from companies like VeriSign. VeriSign sells them a certificate and validates that they are really eBay. They do this in a variety of ways, sometimes with phone calls, sometimes with other validation systems. And there are different kinds. There's very high security certificates, and then there's kind of lower security. The super high security certificates are $1,000. That's the one that turns the browser title bar green.
Okay.
You've probably seen that. That, you know, it's the more modern browsers will say, yeah, this is a validated, verified site. The certificate is set for a certain date. So a couple of things can happen. The first thing I check is make sure the date and time on your computer are correct.
Well, you know, the time's not because of the time change.
Well, just check to make sure. Because sometimes if the battery dies on the computer or something went wrong on the clock and the computer thinks it's 1920, that certificate's not valid.
You know what it is? Because I think I need to replace my BIOS battery and it's,
right.
It's been nagging me. It now says it's 2005.
That's why. So the eBay certificate is probably a valid certificate, but it's set for 2008 to 2012 or whatever the date.
Right, it expires in January because I did look at that.
Exactly.
Okay. So, yeah, because it makes it sound like somebody could be trying to poach in on my computer. And it's like,
yeah, that's why. That warning's important.
Right.
But,
that's why
but the problem is 99% of the time when we see these certificate errors, it's stuff like that.
Okay. I feel better.
Don't worry. And set your date.
I'm doing it now.
Thanks, Sherry.
Thanks.
Take care. There, you know, and it's happened to me and it's happened to others that your certificate expires. We forget to renew it. You'll get that same error. The certificate system is designed to protect you because, of course, you don't want somebody pretending they're eBay and getting your password and login and stuff. So, if you go to a site that has an HTTPS, the S for secure address, https://ebay.com, and the browser then says, okay, it's supposed to be secure. You're supposed to be ebay.com. Let me see the certificate. eBay sends the certificate information. The browser compares it and says, okay, yeah, you know, it's like looking at your passport. You look like your picture. Okay, you really are eBay. It lets you go ahead. If it doesn't match, if the date's out of sync or the name is wrong or it somehow doesn't match, then the browser, and this is a security feature, will say, hey, something's wrong here. This isn't really who it said it is. Very important on secure sites like eBay, Amazon, your bank, things like that. 8888-ASK-LEO, the phone number. One more break to go. Let's see how many calls we can get in. I'm going to do a speed round when we return right after this. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, at 8888, ask Leo. Let's get on to the call. I'm going to do as many as I can here. Our next caller, Ray, Victorville, California. Hi, Ray. Leo Laporte here.
Hey, Leo. How you doing? Love the show.
Thank you.
I just had a quick question on these free antivirus programs that are out. You know, there's ABG, Avera, Avast.
Only one I recommend is Windows, Microsoft Security Essentials.
Okay.
Which is free from Microsoft. It's very good. Microsoft.com/Security Essentials. Don't even waste your time with the rest of them.
Okay. Sounds good.
Very simple. Yep. And by the way, none of the free antiviruses are as complete as a paid antivirus. They don't do things like background email scanning in some cases. They don't find some kinds of malware and so forth. But the truth is, really, I'll be honest with you, an antivirus is only as good as you are. You're the first line of the defense. The antivirus is just protecting you from yourself. If you don't open files from strangers, you don't open the email attachments, you're careful about what you do online, and most importantly, you keep Windows up to date by applying those Windows patches whenever they come out from Microsoft. I think the antivirus is much less important that you use, is much less important than what you do. Aris, Greenville, South Carolina. Hey, is that how I say it? Aris?
Aris.
Aris, welcome to the show. What can I do for you?
Leo, how are you?
I'm well.
Been a big fan following you since the old Tech TV days.
Ah, yes, the good old days.
Well, I finally replaced my 12-year-old Sony TV, the old 100-pound model, and I got a nice 40-inch flat-screen TV.
Yep.
And it's fantastic. I want to hook my laptop to it, and it's got an HDMI hookup on my laptop. And when I hook it to the TV, I get the video fine, but I get no audio.
Yeah, a lot of times on computers, the HDMI, which carries audio and video, normally doesn't have audio on it.
Mm-hmm.
So check your computer specs and see if they send audio over HDMI. If they don't, then you're going to have to send the HDMI video plus an audio feed to your television from the computer.
And that would just come out of the speaker jack?
Yeah, not ideal. You'd be better, if you really want the best quality, you want to use a USB to analog converter. And those range anywhere from $20 to $500, depending on the quality of the digital to analog converter built into it. Because, you know, the audio jack coming out of the computer, let's face it, isn't very good.
Oh, no. Okay.
And the best would be the HDMI. So just check the computer, you know, the help files or the manufacturer's site. See if they put audio on the HDMI. It's not... You know, usually they do, but sometimes they don't. Maybe it's just a setting in your mixer. You know, make sure you've got your audio mixer, you know, the audio's turned on and so forth. And if they have optical out, as Dr. Mom's pointing out in the chat room, yeah, optical's a great choice. And often optical go right into your TV. Hey, before we take another call, and I'm going to do that in a second, I want to tell you about Carbonite Pro. It's just the greatest little backup system ever for small businesses. You've heard me talk about Carbonite for consumers. You know, it's funny, Carbonite realized that a lot of you were using it for your small business. So they made a Carbonite Pro just for small business. It has some great advantages. First of all, you only pay for the storage you use, not for the number of users. That means with Carbonite Pro, you can have 10 people, each storing 2 gigabytes. It costs you no more than $10 a month. $10 a month! If you go to CarbonitePro.com, you could see their pricing and get an idea of how much it's going to cost you. They have a centralized dashboard. So you could see whether all your systems are backed up or not. Users can restore their own data. In fact, they can do it from any computer, even from the free iPhone and BlackBerry app. I just love that. You could try Carbonite Pro free right now for 30 days. All you have to do is go to CarbonitePro.com. They're very helpful and help you getting set up. You don't need an IT department, but you do need a disaster recovery plan, and backup is absolutely critical. If you're a small business, isn't being absolutely religious about backups, and if they're not off-site where they're completely safe, you should check out Carbonite Pro. 30 days free, CarbonitePro.com. It just is the way to go. Yvette, Lakewood, California, you're next. Hi, Yvette. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Leo, I'm trying to reset the password on a Mac, and I was wondering if you had a referral, a website.
Ah, the good news on the Mac is it's very easy to do. You take the Macintosh disk that came with your Mac, the system install disk.
I don't have a disk. It's a secondhand computer, and
Well, go if you can then go to an Apple store and for $30 get a copy of Snow Leopard.
Okay.
You boot to that disk. You should have that anyway. Everybody who has a computer needs an operating system disk. That, you know, it's just, you just got to have it.
Okay.
And once you boot from that operating system disk, you know, the truth is you could bring the Mac into the Apple store. They'd probably do it for you. But you boot from the operating system disk and you can reset the passwords right there.
Okay.
The Apple makes it very much easier to do, as they should. You can always get into a Mac if you forget the password. I guess that's potentially a security problem, but they have to have an access to the computer, right? Christina, Scottsdale, Arizona. Welcome. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, great to talk to you, Leo.
Good to talk to you.
I love your voice. You have a great radio voice.
Well, thank you.
My quick question is, I'd like to record the movies from my DVR off of my dish. You know, the dish records the DVR. The DVR records a movie. How do I record that for myself so I can keep the movie?
You need to use something called the analog hole. The DVR companies, the companies that make these DVRs, whether it's TiVo or Dish or DirecTV, the movie companies hate it if they let you get that data off the disc, right? Because then it's a perfect copy. They're afraid you're going to make CDs and sell them on the lawn, and it's just they think you're a pirate.
Right.
So you have to kind of get around that by using the analog hole. All DVRs have an output that you can hook up to a TV. So what you've got to do is hook that up to your computer instead.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so you'll need a video capture card or a video capture device for your computer. You hook that up to the DVR, you play back the movie, and you capture it onto the hard drive of your computer. Now you can do anything you want, including burn a DVD and put it on the front lawn.
Oh, okay. So I just
okay.
Video
capture device. You know, the Pinnacle makes them. Pinnacle Systems, very good. The best, the ones I use are from Canopus, C-A-N-O-P-U-S. It's the ADVC, which is analog to digital video converter.
Okay.
It'll have a analog input from your DVR, and it has FireWire or USB out. Better if you have FireWire out. Most computers nowadays don't have FireWire anymore. Are you Mac or Windows?
Windows.
Yeah, most Windows computers don't have FireWire. If yours does, you're in better shape. But USB will work fine, too.
All right. Well, thank you.
Sure, Christina. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. One more call, and we're going to wrap her up. And this is Line 4. It's Judith in Pasadena. Hi, Judith. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi. I am an old grandma, and I don't know anything except what a user does. I have some old VHS tapes from when my kids and my grandkids were growing, and I wanted to convert them into a DVD format. And I don't know if there is an apparatus to do that. And if so, can you tell me what
there
the name
is,
of-
Judith? There are. You can buy a Panasonic and Humax. A lot of companies will make it looks like a VCR, but it has a DVD tray as well as a VHS slot.
Okay.
And you put the VHS tape in the VHS slot. You put a blank recordable DVD in the DVD tray. You press a button. And it'll dub from the VHS to the DVD. You could do that. The truth is, if it's not a lot of tapes, I would say just there are lots of companies that'll do this for you. And it's probably easier to have them do it. They'll probably do a better job. But if you had hundreds, it might be prohibitively expensive, yes. In which case I would buy the standalone unit.
Okay. And is there a particular type of blank DVD disc that I need for that?
Yeah, when you buy it, they'll come with a couple of different choices. I recommend the DVD-R. It could be plus or minus R. Either one will work fine. You may end up wanting to try different brands to see how well they play back in your DVD player.
Okay.
Sometimes DVD players are finicky about these, and one brand works better.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Judith. Yeah, I think Panasonic's probably the best brand name on these. But if you go to your big box stores or Best Buy, you know, they sell these things. They look like VCRs. They won't be around much longer because eventually all these VHS tapes will go by the wayside, we hope. And we won't have to do this anymore. Lots of companies make these. Makes it easier. Hey, that's it. I went through all the calls. Yay! Thanks to Luis Oliveira. He's running the board and making the music happen. Great fella. Good to have backing me here. Thank you, Luis. Thanks to Gina Salvati, who was on phones all day today, giving us such great calls. And Kyle, our new board op, who's going to be starting next Saturday. It's good to see you, Kyle. Good to meet you. Thank you for the job you do. Don't forget, Steve Martin joins us a week from today. He's got some Twitter questions, and he wants some help with his Droid X. So I have a special celebrity hotline that we use. Have a great Geek Week, will you? Don't forget twit.tv all week long for lots of podcasts on these subjects. And, of course, techguylabs.com for the show notes. I'm Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Have a great Geek Week. This portion of the Tech Guy Show is brought to you by Citrix, makers of GoToMyPC.com. Believe me, this is the remote access solution you want. In fact, it's just in time for the holidays, so you can get out of the office early, spend more time with the family, and still not come back to a full inbox. You try it free right now for 45 days. Get you right through the new year. Just go to GoToMyPC.com, click the Try It Free button, and use my name, Leo. GoToMyPC.com. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Phone number is 8888-ASK-LEO. If you have a question, you want to talk tech, I'd love to talk to you, like Ben in Minneapolis. He's our next caller. Hi, Ben.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call, Leo.
Of course. Thanks for calling. What can I do for you?
Well, I have broken my phone, so it's time to get a new phone. But aside from that, I've also lost my vision. So, to me, these virtual keyboards aren't really helping much. And I know that there are some headsets that do voice reading text out loud.
Do you have vision at all, or is it, or are you completely blind?
Not completely blind, but not enough to read a screen.
Okay, so big text wouldn't help.
No, not right now.
All right. Right now, as far as I know, and we have a number, quite a few blind listeners, and I have to defer to them because they're the experts. They all pretty much agree the iPhone has the best accessibility features, including a screen reader.
Okay, I know you've been messing around with the new Windows Phone, and I'm not sure what that has capability for as far as dictation and reading aloud text, but I know it's the Think system.
Right. There's not dictation everywhere, nor is there on the iPhone. The only phone with dictation virtually everywhere, certainly everywhere there'd be a keyboard, is Android. Okay. So any Android phone that has version 2.2 or later, which is most of the new ones, you can dictate. Anytime there's a keyboard, you can dictate. I really should do more research on accessibility. I just kind of leave it to our listeners to let me know. Let me just look through the Windows Phone and see what kind of accessibility. There is voice activation on the Windows Phone. You can say things like call Leo or, open an application. So it does have speech commands, but almost all phones have speech commands.
And the Jawbone headset, but that works with Android and only BlackBerry RIM, as well as the Motorola TX.
Right. Right. I use a Blue Ant T1, I think it is. It's nice because it has voice prompts all throughout, and it will also pull up the voice commands on an Android phone, and I presume it would work with Windows Mobile. I don't know why the Jawbone wouldn't work with Windows Mobile. So you push the button on the Bluetooth headset, and it goes blink, and it pulls up that screen, and then you can talk to the phone.
Okay, yeah.
My sense is that Windows Phone 7 is not quite there yet, and that the iPhone right now is the best. I'm not the expert. Maybe I'll tell you what I would say is keep listening, Ben.
Yeah, like you, I'm trying to stay away from the iPhone.
Yeah, if you nothing wrong. Actually, I'm told that that AT&T is quite good in Minneapolis.
They do have very good coverage. I've never had.
Yeah. So the iPhone may not be a bad choice in that area. I know Dan, who is our chat moderator, uses Dan. Well, now I don't know. Dan, are you using an iPhone or are you using something else? I think he told me that AT&T is quite good in his area. So I'm not sure. I'm looking Technology for the Blind at blindtechnology.wordpress.com. Curtis Chong writing about accessibility at Microsoft. He says he went to a roundtable at Microsoft's headquarters to discuss non-visual access on the Windows Phone 7. The National Federation for the Blind was there, American Council of the Blind, American Foundation for the Blind, and others.
Well, that's good.
And he says it is not really accessible to the blind today. However, I know the woman who is now in charge of accessibility, cross-platform accessibility at Microsoft, who is absolutely committed to this. So I would expect, I mean, Microsoft has shown a commitment just by hiring her. So I would expect that it will get better. But you know, remember, this is the first version of this Windows Phone 7, and there are a lot of things missing, including things sighted users would like cut and paste. So this has a lot of room to get better.
All right. Well, sounds good. I will definitely stay tuned. I love the show.
Thanks, Ben. I really appreciate it. Yeah, I think the iPhone still is the best as in terms of accessibility. And because you're in Minneapolis, I think AT&T is not a bad choice. And I'm just reading this blog. I would, you know, it's pretty clear, at least this writer who's blind, saying that one of the things that happened in Windows Phone 7 is a lot of the accessibility that was in earlier versions of Windows Phone was taken out. And I, you know, I think Android does a good job, and again, I'm not blind, so I can't really speak intelligently on this. But Ellie and others who are regular callers on this show say they like the iPhone the best. So I'm gonna defer to them. Diane in Canyon Lake, California. You're next, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Leo. Boy, do I have a big problem. I don't know how I did it, but I have a Vista laptop computer, and I turned it off. When it came back on, I only got the screen, not the desktop, asking for my administrator password.
Hmm.
I forgot it. It's been a few years. Is there any way to...
Now, if you hit control, you do have, I presume, a login that's Diane.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can log in as Diane. Do you remember that password still?
Well, no, no. It has my name there, but it says password, and I tried everything I could think of.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Now, a lot of times there's a blank password for administrator, so you might try. You know,
I did.
And it didn't work, huh?
Yeah. Now, I went online, and I found some password crackers. Do you recommend that?
Yeah, there's a number of them, Loft and others, that work quite well. Windows, they basically will reset the Windows password.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be careful where you get these because, you know, I would imagine this would be one of those places that bad guys might put up software that, you know, hey, we can fix this.
Yeah.
So do be careful. Let me ask the chat room, because they've recommended in the past their favorite, and I know I've said it, and I just don't. Yeah, Oofcrack, that's it. Oofcrack.
Okay.
That's a good one. It works. People recommend it.
All right.
And it will essentially reset your passwords.
Okay, so I used another computer and probably downloaded on a thumb drive or something like that?
Yeah, I think it will require you to boot from either a USB drive or a CD to use it.
Yeah.
Let me just see here. It runs on Windows, Linux, Crackers, free tables. Download it. Yeah, they actually, you could get a friend to do this. They actually make a live CD that you could boot from on your Vista machine. And then run the crack program.
Live CD?
Live CD means just a bootable CD.
Oh, okay.
And that's kind of handy. It's a good thing to have around. In fact, this is a good thing for everybody who's listening. If you think you might forget your password, you might want to make one of these now while your computer is working.
Right.
Oofcrack is open source free software for Windows that will crack the password.
Okay. You don't think I need to send... get a Vista, what do you call the whole backup or the whole...
No.
Disk, that's what I want to say.
No, you don't need to do that.
Okay. Okay, am I going to lose something on this?
Not going to lose a thing.
Okay, very good. I'm going to give it a try.
All right, Diane, thank you. I guess one thing you could, if you hadn't used Windows to encrypt folders, files, or even the whole disk, you would lose that, but I don't think you, I hope you didn't. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Laporte, the tech guy. You want to call? I'd love to talk to you. We're talking about computers and cell phones and home theater and all that stuff. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. I'd love to hear from you. Rob in San Diego's next. Hey, Rob, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo, love the show. Thanks for taking
Thank
my call.
You. Thanks.
I'm looking for a Christmas gift and I need a little bit of help. I'm looking for a media solution that will output my video files from, like, any sort of hard drives to a TV, preferably up to 1080 quality.
So, when you say hard drive, you mean computer?
No, portable hard drives, like anything from like an 8-gig thumb drive to, like, a 2-terabyte external, really.
So, you've got on this hard drive, you've got all this video.
And yeah, like all sorts of it, like it. Anything from probably like AVI, video, TS, even like MKV files. So I'm wondering.
And you just like to plug it into something and then have it accessible to you.
Yeah, something like I was looking at the, the WD TV Live, and I heard some good things, but I wasn't sure if that was a good solution for that.
That's an interesting question. I don't know what the best solution is.
Because my big thing is I don't want to have to reformat all of my drives to be
right.
compatible with whatever this is. I don't want to have
right.
to wipe all my data. I want to just be able to plug and play, sort of. So drag and drop files from the computer and then pretty much instantly accessible on the TV.
I don't have a good answer for you. The chat room does say that the WDHD Live is a good choice. Boxy Box might do it. I have a Boxy Box at home. I'll have to try it. I haven't tried that.
I've used my Xbox 360. It works fine. It seems like certain hard drives work with it and certain ones don't. So I've just I found one in particular that seems to work fine with the dragging and dropping of files, and that's the one I use with it. But I was kind of looking for a more portable sort of long-term solution that would allow for more different file types and higher definition.
Right, right. Chat room is telling me that they have used the Boxy Box to do this. This is brand new. It is $200, a little pricey, but it's pretty cool. It puts the Boxy software on your TV. So it has two USB ports. It has an Ethernet port. It has HDMI out. That's how you'd connect your TV to it. And so you could connect as many as two different drives to that thing. And the Boxy software is fantastic. It pretty much plays anything.
So it'll have its own, it'll just pop up on the screen with the input.
It will. It'll show a directory. In fact, I believe it will even download descriptive information from the internet and so forth. Yeah.
Great.
I think more and more of these devices are doing exactly that. Now, the truth is we're moving towards streaming. That's really what Roku and Boxybox and all these devices really are. I think ultimately going to be designed to attach to Netflix and Hulu and other streaming sources of information, of video, and you could watch it on your TV. But it's nice when they allow you to also say, well, I have a bunch of other content I'd like to plug in here. I will try this and talk about it next week. I'm actually in the process of reviewing the Boxy Box, and that wasn't something that I thought of trying, but now I will. And a number of people in the chat room saying that Western Digital Box is a very good choice, and that's cheaper.
Okay, great. I appreciate the help. One last thing I wanted to mention was an earlier caller was trying to manage his iPhone without iTunes, and Copy Trans Manager is a free download. It's pretty great. It's sort of slow, but you can work with ringtones too, so it's a pretty cool option.
Copytrans Manager?
Copy Trans Manager.
Very good, and it's copytrans.net. Interesting. And that's Windows only. I'm gonna give that a try. That looks pretty cool. Thank you for the suggestion.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
All right. Hey, thanks. Take care, Rob. It's always nice when you can call in and give us a little help. Copy Trans Manager. Sick of iTunes? Too complex and slow for your needs? Looking for a faster, lighter, and free alternative iPod manager? Copy Trans Manager is a perfect iTunes replacement for your iPhone or iPod. They do have a free trial. Cool. Now, Double Twist is absolutely free, but I'll have to try this one. Looks pretty cool. 8888 Ask Leo. Back to the phones. Sandy, Glendale, California. You're next. Hi, Sandy. Leo here, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. I wanted to ask your recommendation for a camcorder for a Christmas gift for my daughter. Something easy to use.
She a teenager?
No, she's 30, but she has...
She's a grown-up. Okay. And what is she going to be taking pictures of?
The baby.
Aw, congratulations. You're a grandma.
Yeah, she wants
to... That's great.
Download onto the computer and
you said an important thing. So that was the next question, is where is this video going to go? And it sounds like it's going to go to the internet.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So my recommendation is from Kodak. It's the ZI-8. You've probably seen the flip cams. A lot of companies make similar cameras.
Yeah,
they're very good. I mean, they're not, if you were going to play back the video on a 60-inch screen TV, you know, maybe they wouldn't be perfect, but I think these are very good. They're high def, you know, 720p. Actually, the new ZI-8 is 1080p, although that's kind of a little bit of a misrepresentation. It's shot at a lower resolution than they upscale it, but it looks pretty darn good. One of the reasons I recommend this over the flip cam, and they're both the same price, pretty much the same form factor, even they look very similar. They're kind of like, not what you'd expect. They're not for holding in the hand. They just look like a glasses case kind of with a lens on it. But one of the reasons I like the Kodak is because it has an independent microphone port. So if she decides she wants better audio on this thing, she'll be able to down the road. They record onto flash cards, which makes it very easy to copy to your computer. You pop out the flash card, you put it in your computer. I think these are a great choice, and you can just keep it in your pocket. They're tiny.
Great. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Sure. The Kodak ZI-8, that'd be a great Christmas gift. And then you have to say, and you have to upload these so I can see them. Because I'm the grandma, darn it.
Okay.
Enjoy it. I think these are a good choice. And the flip cams are fine, too. But I think the ZI-8 is right now my favorite. Sony makes one called the Blogger. Or something like that. Blog cam. It's for bloggers. And that's pretty good too. But so there are a number of companies that make these flip cam sized, glasses case sized things. But my favorite is the ZI-8. The Bloggy. That's it. Thank you. Bedster in our chat room. Our website is techguylabs.com. That's where I put links to all the stuff that we talk about. And there's also a link to the chat room. I love it when you go in there. It's about 700, 800 people in there right now talking at me. We also have links to the video. And all the podcasts and everything else. This is episode 720 if you're looking for information from this particular show. TechGuyLabs.com. Coming up, Saul and Milpitas. Wants to know about these all-in-one computers. Are they a good deal? Sherry in La Mirada says she can't get into, she can get into eBay, but her computer is saying it's not trusted. Huh? What's the deal? I can explain. And Ray in Victorville. What do I think of the free antivirus programs? And which one's the best? I will tell you when I come back. Just a little bit. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. If you have a question, a comment, a suggestion, a correction, 888-827-5536. Who am I? Hey, I'm Leo Laporte. I'm the tech guy here. We'll be right back. This portion of the Tech Guy Show is brought to you by my internet service provider, DSL Extreme, for high-speed internet at an amazingly low price. Call 8888. No, that's my number. You can call me, but then I'll tell you to call 866, the number 2, GetNet, to get DSL Extreme. My number, 8888, Ask Leo. 8888, Ask Leo. Your questions, your comments, your suggestions. Saul and Milpitas, you're next. Hi, Saul. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Oh, hey, Leo. Hang on. I'm trying to feed my kid right now.
Okay. Oh, hang on. I'll tell you what. I'll put you on hold, and while I put you on hold, give you 30 seconds or so, I will let people know that you can get the download the show on a variety of different platforms. It's all at techguylabs.com. And, you know, we do a lot of other shows and put them on YouTube at YouTube.com/Twit. That's my podcast network, YouTube.com/Twit. And, you know, we had an interesting problem with YouTube. And this is one of the things that really gets me. And I suppose you can't really complain about a free service, right? But for some reason, Google has decided that one of our shows, we do a show called iPad Today, the most recent episode is inappropriate. What did they say, John? They said they pulled down for inappropriate content. Now, I can tell you, this is a completely appropriate show. Family friendly. There aren't even any bad words in it. And there certainly is no inappropriate content. I don't know if that's ever happened to you on YouTube. YouTube pulls our videos down fairly frequently for reasons we just don't, and there's no appeal. There's no way to find out. There's nothing. It's just like, okay, we'll move on. We'll do another show. So I have to say, if you use YouTube, you should probably use other services as well. You should not put all your eggs in one basket. YouTube's great. It provides access to a massive audience. It's absolutely free. We pay no bandwidth costs for it, so I can't complain. But come on, Google. You know, I mean, if you're going to pull down something for inappropriate comment, give me something I can do about it. Give me some sort of way to dispute it. I guess there's a dispute process, but we've never seen. It just goes into a black hole. We never see any results or responses. It's the strangest thing. I think people can actually complain about your video and get it pulled down. All right, now I've wasted enough time. Is Saul back? Saul, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I am. Okay, sorry about that. Really quickly, my wife's computer went kaput, so we're looking at getting a new one, and she's going to be working from home as well. And I was looking at these all-in-one computers, and I was wondering if you can kind of give me any feedback on them, any pros and cons on them, because they kind of look like they're new to the market as far as for myself.
Well, it all started with Apple and the iMac, right, where everything was all-in-one. And really, it's almost a laptop on its side. You know, it's a desktop that's kind of built like a laptop.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think that the advantages of it are they're compact. They usually look pretty nice. Everybody makes them now. I have nothing against them. The days when people would buy a tower case because they could open it up and put in a different video card or put in different memory, I think those days are kind of fading fast. You don't want to do that, do you?
Well, I'm a gamer, so I do it.
for a gamer, an all-in-one is a bad idea, but for your wife, maybe it's fine.
All right. Cool. On there, any recommendations? Because I was looking at the HP ones, because they also have a touch screen.
I think they're great. The Touch Smarts, I think they're very nice. They're very affordable. Cool. Now, I have the same issue with the touch screens that Steve Jobs mentioned when he said, we're not going to make a touch screen Mac, right, because he said you have to reach your hand out, and who wants to have their hand out all the time? Now, I think there are cases where a touch screen is a great idea in the kitchen, perhaps when you're cooking, right, and you want to just touch it. You don't want to type on the keyboard. You know, people love the touch screen on the iPad.
Right. Well,
but it's a more intimate device. You're sitting in your lap. You're holding it in your arm. You're not exactly reaching out to touch the screen.
Right. Yeah. Well, the good thing about the touch screens, too, is they got a special needs child that doesn't talk. So he uses touch screens to learn alphabets. You know, he presses on the A or the B or whatever on there. So he's now going in that realm there with using touch screen there to communicate. So
that touch screen is great for that.
Yeah, it's a plus on there. Because I was looking at the Myra Schoolmate Convertible.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a touchscreen laptop, and I was looking at them,
you know, on there. But I figure
I think they're great, and I know a number. There's a lot of programs for special needs kids on the iPad as well.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, these are, and an iPad is nice because it's small. It's pretty robust. There's a lot of good choices. That's a very good reason to get a touchscreen computer.
All right, perfect on there. All right, well, cool. Thank you very much. The Live Liver Show. You have a good week.
Thank you, Saul. Yeah, I'll tell you what the negative would be, and people will say this, I'm sure, in the chat room, is that if it's all-in-one and something breaks in an all-in-one computer, the monitor goes bad, you can't just say, well, I'll get a new monitor. The whole computer has to go in and get fixed. So that's the negative. But nowadays, computers very rarely break. They're very reliable. It's easy to swap out something like a hard drive. They're not upgradable. They're, you know, but, you know, they're all-in-one, so they're convenient. They don't occupy a lot of space. They're great for a home. I think they're a good choice in the right circumstance. That's all. It's just got to be the right place for them. Sherry in La Mirada, California. Hi, Sherry. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo.
Welcome to the show. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm in and out of eBay all the time, and I can still go on to eBay, but when I go to log in, or the sign in to log mm-hmm. in, mm-hmm. I got this connection is untrusted.
Yeah.
From my browser.
So the way the browser knows whether it's eBay or not is through something called a certificate.
Right.
eBay buys these certificates from companies like VeriSign. VeriSign sells them a certificate and validates that they are really eBay. They do this in a variety of ways, sometimes with phone calls, sometimes with other validation systems. And there are different kinds. There's very high security certificates, and then there's kind of lower security. The super high security certificates are $1,000. That's the one that turns the browser title bar green.
Okay.
You've probably seen that. That, you know, it's the more modern browsers will say, yeah, this is a validated, verified site. The certificate is set for a certain date. So a couple of things can happen. The first thing I check is make sure the date and time on your computer are correct.
Well, you know, the time's not because of the time change.
Well, just check to make sure, because if the, you know, sometimes if the battery dies in the computer or something went wrong on the clock and the computer thinks it's 1920, that certificate's not valid.
You know what it is, because I think I need to replace my BIOS battery and it's,
right.
it's nagging me. It's,
that's it,
says
it.
It now says it's 2005.
That's why. So the eBay certificate is probably a valid certificate, but it's set for 2008 to 2012 or whatever the date.
Right, it expires in January because
exactly.
I did look at that. And
exactly.
Okay. So, yeah, because it makes it sound like somebody could be trying to poach in on my computer. And it's like,
yeah, that's why. That warning's important.
Right.
But,
that's why.
But the problem is 99% of the time when we see these certificate errors, it's stuff like that.
Okay. I feel better.
Don't worry. And set your date.
I'm doing it now.
Thanks, Sherry.
Thanks.
Take care. There, you know, and it's happened to me and it's happened to others that, your certificate expires. We forget to renew it. You'll get that same error. The certificate system is designed to protect you because, of course, you don't want somebody pretending they're eBay and getting your password and login and stuff. So, if you go to a site that has an HTTPS, the S for secure address, https://ebay.com, and the browser then says, okay, it's supposed to be secure. You're supposed to be ebay.com. Let me see the certificate. eBay sends the certificate information. The browser compares it and says, okay, yeah. You know, it's like looking at your passport. You look like your picture. Okay, you really are eBay. It lets you go ahead. If it doesn't match, if the date's out of sync or the name is wrong or it somehow doesn't match, then the browser, and this is a security feature, will say, hey, something's wrong here. This isn't really who it said it is. Very important on secure sites like eBay, Amazon, your bank, things like that. 8888-ASK-LEO, the phone number. One more break to go. Let's see how many calls we can get in. I'm going to do a speed round when we return right after this. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, at 8888, ask Leo. Let's get on to the call. I'm going to do as many as I can here. Our next caller, Ray, Victorville, California. Hi, Ray. Leo Laporte here.
Hey, Leo, how you doing? Love the show.
Thank you.
I just had a quick question on these free antivirus programs that are out. You know, there's ABG, Avera, Avast.
Only one I recommend is Windows, Microsoft Security Essentials.
Okay.
Which is free from Microsoft. It's very good. Microsoft.com/security essentials. Don't even waste your time with the rest of them.
Okay. Sounds good.
Very simple. Yep. And by the way, none of the free antiviruses are as complete as a paid antivirus. They don't do things like background email scanning in some cases. They don't find some kinds of malware and so forth. But the truth is, really, I'll be honest with you, an antivirus is only as good as you are. You're the first line of defense. The antivirus is just protecting you from yourself. You don't open files from strangers. You don't open the email attachments. You're careful about what you do online. And most importantly, you keep Windows up to date by applying those Windows patches whenever they come out from Microsoft. I think the antivirus is much less important that you use, is much less important than what you do. Aris, Greenville, South Carolina. Hey, is that how I say it? Aris?
Aris.
Aris, welcome to the show. What can I do for you?
Leo, how are you?
I'm well.
Been a big fan following you since the old Tech TV days.
Ah, yes, the good old days.
Well, I finally replaced my 12-year-old Sony TV, the old 400-pound model, and I got a nice 40-inch flat-screen TV.
Yep.
And it's fantastic. I want to hook my laptop to it, and it's got an HDMI hookup on my laptop. And when I hook it to the TV, I get the video fine, but I get no audio.
Yeah, a lot of times on computers, the HDMI, which carries audio and video, normally doesn't have audio on it.
Mm-hmm.
So check your computer specs and see if they send audio over HDMI. If they don't, then you're going to have to send the HDMI video plus an audio feed to your television from the computer.
That would just come out of the speaker jack?
Yeah, not ideal. You'd be better, if you really want the best quality, you want to use a USB to analog converter. And those range anywhere from $20 to $500, depending on the quality of the digital to analog converter built into it. Because, you know, the audio jack coming out of the computer, let's face it, isn't very good.
Oh, no. Okay.
And the best would be the HDMI. So just check the computer, you know, the help files or the manufacturer site. See if they put audio on the HDMI. It's not... You know, usually they do, but sometimes they don't. Maybe it's just a setting in your mixer. You know, make sure you've got your audio mixer, you know, the audio's turned on and so forth. And if they have optical out, as Dr. Mom's pointing out in the chat room, yeah, optical's a great choice. And often optical go right into your TV. Hey, before we take another call, and I'm going to do that in a second, I want to tell you about Carbonite Pro. It's just the greatest little backup system ever for small businesses. You've heard me talk about Carbonite for consumers. You know, it's funny, Carbonite realized that a lot of you were using it for your small business. So they made a Carbonite Pro just for small business. It has some great advantages. First of all, you only pay for the storage you use, not for the number of users. That means with Carbonite Pro, you can have 10 people, each storing 2 gigabytes. It costs you no more than $10 a month. $10 a month! If you go to CarbonitePro.com, you could see their pricing and get an idea of how much it's going to cost you. They have a centralized dashboard. So you could see whether all your systems are backed up or not. Users can restore their own data. In fact, they can do it from any computer, even from the free iPhone and BlackBerry app. I just love that. You could try Carbonite Pro free right now for 30 days. All you have to do is go to CarbonitePro.com. They're very helpful and help you getting set up. You don't need an IT department, but you do need a disaster recovery plan, and backup is absolutely critical. If you're a small business, isn't being absolutely religious about backups, and if they're not off-site where they're completely safe, you should check out Carbonite Pro. 30 days free, CarboniteProDotCom. It just is the way to go. Yvette, Lakewood, California, you're next. Hi, Yvette. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Leo, I'm trying to reset the password on a Mac, and I was wondering if you had a referral of a website.
Ah, the good news on the Mac is it's very easy to do. You take the Macintosh disk that came with your Mac, the system install disk.
I don't have a disk. It's a secondhand computer, and
Well, go if you can then go to an Apple store and for $30 get a copy of Snow Leopard.
Okay.
You boot to that disk. You should have that anyway. Everybody who has a Mac everybody who has a computer needs an operating system disk. That, you know, it's just you just got to have it. Okay. And once you boot from that operating system disk, you know what the truth is, you could bring the Mac into the Apple store. They'd probably do it for you. But you boot from the operating system disk and you can reset the passwords right there.
Okay.
The Apple makes it very much easier to do, as they should. You can always get into a Mac if you forget the password. I guess that's potentially a security problem, but they have to have an access to the computer, right? Christina, Scottsdale, Arizona. Welcome. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, great to talk to you, Leo.
Good to talk to you.
I love your voice. You have a great radio voice.
Well, thank you.
My quick question is, I'd like to record the movies from my DVR off of my dish. You know, the dish records the DVR. The DVR records a movie. How do I record that for myself so I can keep the movie?
You need to use something called the analog hole. The DVR companies, the companies that make these DVRs, whether it's TiVo or Dish or DirecTV, the movie companies hate it if they let you get that data off the disc, right? Because then it's a perfect copy. They're afraid you're going to make CDs and sell them on the lawn, and it's just they think you're a pirate.
Right.
So you have to kind of get around that by using the analog hole. All DVRs have an output that you can hook up to a TV. So what you've got to do is hook that up to your computer instead.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so you'll need a video capture card or a video capture device for your computer. You hook that up to the DVR, you play back the movie, and you capture it onto the hard drive of your computer. Now you can do anything you want, including burn a DVD and put it on the front lawn.
Oh, okay. So I just
okay.
Video
capture device. You know, the Pinnacle makes them. Pinnacle System's very good. The best, the ones I use are from Canopus, C-A-N-O-P-U-S. It's the ADVC, which is analog to digital video converter.
Okay.
It'll have a analog input from your DVR, and it has FireWire or USB out. Better if you have FireWire out. Most computers nowadays don't have FireWire anymore. Are you Mac or Windows?
Windows.
Yeah, most Windows computers don't have FireWire. If yours does, you're in better shape. But USB will work fine, too.
All right. Well, thank you.
Sure, Christina. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. One more call, and we're going to wrap her up. And this is Line 4. It's Judith in Pasadena. Hi, Judith. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi. I am an old grandma, and I don't know anything except what a user does. I have some old VHS tapes from when my kids and my grandkids were growing, and I wanted to convert them into a DVD format. And I don't know if there is an apparatus to do that, and if so, can you tell me what
there
the name
is,
of-
Judith? There are. You can buy a Panasonic and Humax. A lot of companies will make it looks like a VCR, but it has a DVD tray as well as a VHS slot.
Okay.
And you put the VHS tape in the VHS slot. You put a blank recordable DVD in the DVD tray. You press a button, and it'll dub from the VHS to the DVD. You could do that. The truth is, if it's not a lot of tapes, I would say just there are lots of companies that'll do this for you. And it's probably easier to have them do it. They'll probably do a better job. But if you had hundreds, it might be prohibitively expensive, yes. In which case I would buy the standalone unit.
Okay. And is there a particular type of blank DVD disc that I need for that?
Yeah, when you buy it, they'll come with a couple of different choices. I recommend the DVD-R. It could be plus or minus R. Either one will work fine. You may end up wanting to try different brands to see how well they play back in your DVD player.
Okay.
Sometimes DVD players are finicky about these, and one brand works better.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Judith. Yeah, I think Panasonic's probably the best brand name on these. But if you go to your big box stores or Best Buy, you know, they sell these things. They look like VCRs. They won't be around much longer because eventually all these VHS tapes will go by the wayside. We hope, and we won't have to do this anymore. Lots of companies make these. Makes it easier. Hey, that's it. I went through all the calls. Yay! Thanks to Luis Oliveira. He's running the board and making the music happen. Great fella. Good to have backing me here. Thank you, Luis. Thanks to Gina Salvati, who was on phones all day today, giving us such great calls. And Kyle, our new board op, who's going to be starting next Saturday. It's good to see you, Kyle. Good to meet you. Thank you for the job you do. Don't forget, Steve Martin joins us a week from today. he's got some Twitter questions and he wants some help with his Droid X. So I have a special celebrity hotline that we use. Have a great geek week, will you? Don't forget twit.tv all week long for lots of podcasts on these subjects. And of course, techguylabs.com for the show notes. I'm Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Have a great geek week.